I see your claim up there, evolution is fact.
Yeah.
I have a problem with evolution, man. I'm sure you've heard the argument, micro, macro evolution. I don't want to talk definitional when I'd like to talk like actual substance of the argument. Could you show me
what argument?
The argument of macro versus micro evolution. Of let me present the argument. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, let me present my understanding of the argument. Microevolution, you can have changes within the same kind of like I could take a dog or a coyote or something and breed it down to a dog, right?
Yep.
But that dog, no matter how many changes or whatever you guys want to call it, mutations, will never become a fish or a bird or a human. I consider that like micro or macro evolution, like a big leap like that, right? Like it would have had to have happened thousands of times throughout history in order for us to get to where we are today, if we came from fish or tadpoles or whatever it may be. So my question would be, could you give me one example, just one single example of genetic information gained?
Okay, well, that's not the micro-macro distinction. I am happy to do that. I will do that real quick, but I just want to... I'm just going to point something out here. So I'm going to put this on the screen here real quick. So I put it in different words than you did, but what you said is micro is small changes in a small number of generations. Oh, what the heck is going on? Oh,
there are limits to those changes, right?
Yeah, I know. I agree that there are limits to those changes. No evolutionist would ever say something so stupid as, we think that a dog can give birth to a bird. We would never say something that stupid, because that is the nature of a micro mutation or evolution or whatever is accurate to what you said. Macro evolution, it's not a thing, but we can pretend, I understand the framework, so we can act like it is. Macroevolution is not when something gives birth to something that's a different species. It is, we agree that this happens. This never stops happening. When you do microevolution across millions of years, do you really think that the thing at the end of the millions of years is the same organism you started with? Hell no, there's no logical reason to think that. That's what macroevolution is. So you can respond to that if you want to, and afterwards I'm going to go on to the new information thing.
Yeah, I agree with the premise of what you're saying as far as that, but like the claim itself, you said that's not the claim, but to be fair, it is, right? Like if we started at, I guess you wouldn't have to start where we started. If let's use the dog, for example, because that's what we were talking about. Eventually, evolution, for it to be true, would have to end up with that dog not being able to breed with another dog, right? It is something else.
They can always breed with each other each generation, but things that are separated by huge numbers of generations can't breed with each other.
So this is
exactly how language works. You know that everybody can always talk to their neighbors, right?
No, I hear you, man. But at one point, in order for it to be classified something else, when would that be? Is what I'm asking. I'm asking in good faith.
It doesn't happen in one generation. So we're gonna use language as an analogy. You and I both know that everybody living in England has always been able to talk to their peers and their neighbors, right? Except the problem, and they speak English on that island. Well, the problem is if you or I went back in time to like 2,000 years ago and we went to England, we wouldn't be able to talk to anybody. So when did the people of England wake up and start speaking different words? That's not how it happens. The changes are micro, but when you accumulate countless micro changes, then the beginning and end thing in that continuum are not the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's a non sequitur. I think it's not. I don't think it has anything to do with each other. I think it's not a good analogy. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think
100% is, because it's exactly analogous to how genes are passed down.
Well, let's do an animal then. For example, you're saying that's not the claim. Let's pick an animal. I mean, if you want, then we could use an actual direct example of what evolution claims. Where did we come from today? Like humans, Homo sapiens.
Homo heidelbergensis.
Right. We can all trace our what is it called? The Eve, the ancestral Eve, back to the same Homo sapien, right?
Not what I meant, but there is a mitochondrial Eve, yeah, but she wasn't the first woman.
But my distinction, the reason I'm bringing that up is that because the distinction is each kind, if you will, has their own, right? We all don't trace back to the same orangutan or whatever you want to, whatever it is, the monkey that, the oboe, or what is it?
No, humans didn't come from chimpanzees. We're related to them. We have a common ancestor.
I get that, brother. I'm the common ancestor. I don't know the name of it. That's the animal I'm referring to.
No, that's not what you're referring to. You said we came from it. No, we didn't. We have a common ancestor with something else that lives today.
If we draw a line from us to that ancestor, do they connect? Do we yes. share similar?
Yes, but it's not the case that so one day Homo heidelbergensis gave birth to a Homo sapiens. That's not how it works.
I'm muting up when you're talking. So please let me finish. In order for your statement to be true, we, like you're saying, we cannot mate with, let's skip the generation above us or the tree above us. We cannot mate with the ancestor of our ancestors, right?
I know, but it didn't happen one generation.
So hold on. But there was a distinction in the timeline from our ancestor's ancestor where they could not mate with our ancestors, nope. Right? There is a distinction.
No, that never happened. Buddy, here, can you see the screen?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have red on the left and we have yellow in the middle, right? Is there a point?
I'd
is
like
there
to
a point where red starts being yellow? No. If we could zoom in on this, and I can't. I can. Okay, so I can zoom in on this. If I zoom in on this and we go pixel by pixel, there's absolutely no point. Now, I would say this pixel over here on the far right, I don't know how much of this you can see, is orange, and the pixel over here on the far left is red. But where does it start being orange? Well, if I pick some random pixel like this one right here, oh, sorry, YouTube, I have this hidden. If I pick some random pixel like this one in the middle, I can't say the one pixel next to it magically starts being orange, and then the one to the left of it was red. It doesn't work that way. The changes are so subtle
analogy,
that they're imperceptible. This is how genetic change happens.
In your model, you could go back and forth. We can't do that in evolution. We only see degradation. We see no new functions gained.
That's 100% false. We know of multiple brand new genes that didn't exist before that have evolved spontaneously.
Of new functions gained, please show me one, please.
Yeah, sure. There are two different types of fish. They live in the Arctic. One lives in the Arctic, one lives in the Antarctic, and they have each spontaneously evolved antifreeze proteins. One from non-existent genetic material.
Before you spew this, look, do a little more looking. It's been proven
they both shared
the common gene before.
They both shared
the common gene that could do this. Yes, they. Okay, man.
No, they didn't. The antifreeze gene that's seen in notothenoids, I think they're called, came from a part of their DNA that was non-coding. That means it was non-genetic material in the DNA. Only 1% of your DNA is genes. So part of the genome that was not a gene mutated, and then the cellular machinery started transcribing it and making proteins out of it. And that protein ended up having antifreeze properties to it.
But it's a mutation of something they already had, like you're saying, the gene they already had.
It's not a gene, it's DNA. Only 1% of your DNA is genes. the vast majority of your DNA sits there and doesn't turn into genes. Then the DNA mutated into a functional form. DNA that just sits there is not functional. You have huge amounts of parts of your genome that don't do anything. It just sits there. In fact, humans have genes that have mutated to the point where they don't work anymore. So we have non-functional genes, but this is not that at all. It was a part of the DNA that was not turned into proteins. That's what genes are. So part of the DNA that wasn't a gene mutated and turned into a gene. That's absolutely new information being brought in. It's a function that didn't exist before. These fish could not make antifreeze proteins, and then their DNA mutated, and then it started to be able to. And then there's another type of fish where they did have a pre-existing gene, but it made a pancreatic digestive enzyme. That gene also mutated, but into something completely different, into another antifreeze protein. So it's a cool example of parallel or convergent evolution, actually. So yeah, that one is a gene becoming a different gene, but it's obviously brand new function, because turning a pancreatic enzyme into antifreeze is very obviously new information and a new function. Plus, there are some others that are known in fruit flies.
Yeah, man, I've heard all these arguments, and I'm telling you, I've heard both sides, and there is a rebuttal. I don't think you're correct here.
Well, there
man.
Isn't.
I'm gonna have to do more research. Yeah, I promise there is, and I'll come back up another.
I know the rebuttals. The rebuttals are, even if you change DNA, that doesn't count, because DNA existing and then changing isn't really a change, because the DNA already existed. Okay, then nothing could ever possibly.
That's my point exactly.
That's a dog shit point. If you're going to say, I need a new gene, and I show you a new gene, and you say, but that doesn't count because it was already DNA. Evolution isn't magic. Evolution doesn't make genes out of non-existing things. Okay? So evolution was never magic. And so when I prove naturally how evolution happens, you don't get to shift the goalpost and say it doesn't count.
Well, it's a mutation of a gene they already had. Like we
no,
just
it's
established.
Not.
You're saying it's
it
not.
It wasn't a gene.
It actually is.
No, it's not.
Okay, you don't like the word gene. It was what did it already exist?
Buddy, you don't know what a gene is.
Did that code already exist in their makeup? Yes or no? Was it altered?
It wasn't a gene. You just don't know what a gene is.
Okay,
you're shifting the goalpost.
I'm conceding. I'm conceding that you maybe definition. You're right. I may not know the exact definitions of it. What considers it to be a gene? I'm literally bringing you the arguments because I've heard them, and I'm asking you about them because you seem very educated about the subject. So
yeah,
you're saying
I told you everything I know in good faith, and you just said nuh-uh. So I'm a little bit annoyed. If an animal didn't have wings, and then it evolved to the point where it could or where it had wings, would you somehow argue that that doesn't count?
I mean, I would have to see some sort of like brand new structure gained, brother. Like I just don't say that what you're describing to me sounds like a mutation. From what I know, you're
it
saying
it is
it's
a
not.
Mutation. Mutation is the only way you can change the genetic makeup of an organism. Evolution is when the genetic components of an organism change over time. That's what evolution is.
Well, hold on. I just looked it up while we're talking and two separate, Perplexity and Grok, are both saying that that the gene specifically did already exist.
Well, they don't. I mean, instead of asking Grok, what you should
said,
do...
But it said, well, hold on, to be fair, it did say that it did not have the antifreeze ability in it before, is what it's saying as I'm reading it. So, but it is a gene that already existed. It was mutated. You're saying it's not.
There are two different examples. Instead of asking Grok, you should go on PLOS Biology or the National Institutes of Health, where you can read what Van Oss and Kervinus say about de novo gene birth, or what Carvunis again et al. Say about protogenes and de novo gene birth. in one example.
Sure. And I'm not memeing. I'm not memeing saying, oh, Grok said, I got you. I asked for sources and stuff like that. I got it. But I'm giving you a quick response because you said it wasn't. Both are claiming they are. I mean, I hear you, though, because you can do the same thing about the degradation rate of collagen or soft tissue, and it'll say, oh, we have methods today that will get you to 65 million years or whatever. But if you read the article, it'll say the very first that this doesn't match. So I hear what you're saying. That's not my claim that, oh, Grok said.
I'm just telling you that what Grok said, I can even grant you that Grok is right, because I already went over this. One of these examples, it was a gene that already existed that mutated, but the gene was a gene for a pancreatic enzyme. If a pancreatic enzyme turning into an antifreeze protein doesn't count as evolution, then nothing could possibly ever count as evolution.
Yeah, I would say it's microevolution, though.
Okay. That's how evolution works. Small changes over time that accumulate, because the small changes happen, they never stop happening, and you don't just lose them. So what happens after millions of years of accumulated micro mutations? The thing at the end of that process isn't the thing you started the process with.
Points. I'll definitely look more into it and come back up another day. I appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
You're welcome. Get a free book, 2 free audiobooks, and ad-free videos by becoming a Patreon member.